and gentlemen, welcome back to the Drop at DFT. Believe it or not, we are here talking about sound. There you go. It is our South by Southwest season of the Drop, our second time talking about South by. And joining me today is Mirko Vogel, who is the managing partner of Vaudeville Sound in Canada, as well as the global lead on immersive sound, which we will jump into soon enough. But Mirko, welcome to your very first Drop episode.
It's great to see you, Nancy.
You are absolutely one of my favorite people to talk to in general. So I can't believe that it's actually taken this long to get you on to the Drop. But also, how much fun was it just seeing each other on the escalators the first day?
I know, it felt like it felt like the moment that you and I have had at a couple of conferences where we're like in conversation and then you sort of like pass each other and you're like, oh, I'll see you in a minute.
It's kind of our personalities, right? We're like, we're on the go. We got things to do. You and I knew we were going to see each other on Sunday for like the Oscar party that we were throwing, but it was still like two ships passing in the daytime. And so you have gone to South by Southwest many times, a different reason previously, and then last year similarly for Vaudeville. But like, am I crazy or was this a smaller year? They said 300,000 people, but I feel like there have been years that were like double that, pre-pandemic for sure, but this felt a little more, oh, I can actually see people and connect.
The first time I went was, I think it was like 2005, six, maybe something like that. And it was when I was a tour manager, a production manager for bands when I still lived in Australia. And it was still a relatively small festival. And then actually my business partner, Rob, who you know really well as well, he went a lot. He went for, 15 years or something in a row. And all the way to when there was like Doritos stages and Subway stages and Madonna played and like Coldplay was doing a thing. And I think it felt like to him when he was sort of talking about it, he said it felt like it got a bit out of hand. Like it sort of became more about the brand presence than about the reason why people came together. And I feel like this year was like, for me, definitely the reason that people got together was very, felt very certain. I didn't feel like it was like overly commercial, like it had, like it may have been in other parts.
There was one year we were pulling in on like Congress or whatever that main street is. And there was, I kid you not, a giant Hot Wheels thing, like a life-size version of the Hot Wheels wheel for like BMXers to be doing stuff. And I was like, what is going on? And it was like all these activations and whatnot, which can be really fun and immersive, but like it just became, like you said, a little bit more about the brand. For me, at least, what South by is about is some of the world's most operational thinkers, meaning everyone has ideas, but these are people putting gears in motion, like actually making things happen, coming together at South by to tell you how they did it and why it matters and how it has an impact on lives. And so this was one of my favorite years in recent memory, and because they programmed people like you. So the other thing I want to share with our audience before we kind of get into your full experience, you were there for how immersive sound can deliver powerful experiences, and we will absolutely link that for people so they can listen to that on South by site too.
Cool. So I was there for 8 days, and largely because the business that we operate touches all of the areas of South by. So, we do a lot of work in the sort of the XR bit of South by. We do a lot of work in film and TV, and obviously it's how we know each other. But we had a Mars Volta documentary was like premiering at South by that we worked on in the UK. And then obviously most of us come from music, but we still do a lot of work, especially in immersive music mixing and work. So there was sort of, for us, South by had like touch points throughout for that whole time. And it was definitely, I was very happy that it wasn't just me. Like I had Rob, my business partner here, in the mix as well as Chris Puff, who's sort of our PR. And
he's the one that submitted for you guys, right?
He was. Yeah. So he was, like he's sort of like a conference panel expert guy. And he's been at South by, I don't know, like 18 years in a row or something.
So this was 17 for me, and I might need to talk to him because I submit our panels and it is so much work. Like our drop audience will have just seen Carlo and Dylan who did the workshop. Some might remember that I did, Ted Lasso and Umbrella Academy and Diversity Below. Like I'm so grateful for the stage that I've gotten to have at South by, but it is a lot of work that also, I think behind the scenes, people don't know. Not only do you submit a presentation, but then it goes into community voting so that panel picker, like people who attend South by, have the ability to vote on what they want to see. And then it goes to the South by committee to make those decisions. And it's a process. There's a lot of stamina involved. So
Yes, well,
good job,
he's
Chris.
definitely very, very good at that. I'm very grateful for his hard work and diligence on getting us to South by on a panel. I mean, it definitely helps, I think, for us too that we're sort of talking about a part like a fairly new thing, in our world, whether that's sort of in gaming or in film and TV or in music. I think that like the conversation around a more immersive sound experiences is really only a conversation that we've been able to have recently. As more consumer electronics devices are capable of reproducing more immersive experiences, as headphones have better spatial tracking, it's all still quite new. And so I think that it definitely benefited us being part of this sort of greater conversation, and then actually having done lots of work in that, and being hopefully a bit of a hopefully finding a way to like inspire people to think differently about the work that they do, rather than just kind of getting up and like, yeah, we did this project and this project and this project, and any questions, So I feel like that might have been part of the interest drive for South by as well. And I'm very grateful actually that that's become a more global interest for creators as well as for us as a company. So it was a good seemed like a good alignment of ideas and
No, it
future
was
thinkers.
brilliant. And I mean, that is what South by is about of like, how do we get new ideas in front of more people? How do we help battle test them? I mean, like, there was so much about AI, and part of my love seesaw with South by is that here at Digital Film Tree, we are often on the bleeding edge of technology. Like we're getting cut left, right, and sideways because we're that on the edge of things. And so we were talking about micro budget pre-visualization a decade ago. And this year it was like a big thing. We have been using, not just toying with AI and VFX, for 4 or 5 years, like actually using it on projects. And this year it was like, here's what we see AI becoming. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then quantum computing, I kind of went into this whole thing about it used to be very accessible to people. Like if you had two or three computers and you could link them together, you have the ability to leverage quantum computing to answer really difficult challenges. And now it kind of goes back to the brand thing that you were talking about. There were like these big sponsored roadmaps on here's why you hire these people to do the quantum computing for you. And so it's like, there's a double-edged sword, but coming back around to part of why we're talking today, the immersive sound of things, where it's like, I only recently put 5.1 surround sound in my home because I always thought, would I really appreciate this? Am I really the audience? Oh my God, am I the audience for this? Just thinking of songbirds and snakes, I'll just use that one, where the actual chase that they're having in the woods, it's a whole different field. I saw it in a theater, that was exciting, but hearing it and seeing it in my own home with like trees rustling over here and birds over here and the subwoofer and all these things, that I was like, whoa, girl, you missed a lot of years and good experiences by not putting this together sooner.
Well, but again, it's like it's not something. It's still very recent, that that platforms are streaming, more immersive audio formats. That more of it is it's just becoming a more accessible experience to people. And, you know, surround sound systems have historically been really expensive, and now they're getting cheaper, you know? And so I think that it feels like, at least like from a consumer standpoint, there's a lot of really great momentum. And then, you know, that was one of the reasons why we were at South By, is we've done all of this work with Google over the last year around the launch of the IMF audio standard that Google and the Alliance for Open Media have put out. And I was on a panel, you know, the panel with at South By with Jani Hupinen from Google. So the project lead, or the head of spatial audio products for Google. And I think, you know, it's important to talk about your experience, actually, you know, being able to have something in your home that you can feel more immersed in. That is something that I think up until really like this year, that's been the domain of like more expensive units, and really one company, which is Dolby, who have done a fantastic job at, you know, bringing immersive audio experiences to the consumer market. But it comes at a considerable cost, as most things that have a Dolby badge have on them, as you know, when you're trying to color things with Dolby badges on them. So one of the reasons why we wanted to go to South By this year is to actually, one, to talk about, get to know more of what people are working on, but also talk with Google about the work that we've been doing together to bring immersive audio experiences as a privilege of the few who can afford great systems, but actually as a really looking at democratized access to immersive audio experiences. And that was a really interesting conversation point for us. I mean, it definitely helped probably with the panel as well. Like if you have for anyone trying to put together a panel, it helps when you've got like people on the panel that others want to actually talk to and meet and see afterwards. And if you've got like a Google or whatever on the panel, it probably goes quite a long way.
I mean, I listened to your panel a couple of times, and I had friends who attended your panel, and everyone was raving about it. Now, I'm raving about it. It was eye-opening for me because I feel very pedestrian. I always say that, especially with you, because we don't do sound here at Digital Film Tree. Like, it's the one area I've been a part of hundreds of movies and television shows, thousands of those, but like I've never touched sound. I'll do color online, the VFX producing, all of that, like every other service except for sound. And so fun fact, viewers at home, I literally somewhere in the 80s stopped caring about music too. Like I found Stevie Wonder and Johnny Cash and John Denver. Don't judge me. I love John Denver. But anyway, like only now, like Beyonce and Donald Glover get through. That's about it. Otherwise, everything I'm listening to was produced well before the 90s. And so it never really occurred to me much to pay as much attention to that. But when I hear you talk about it, and then I start connecting with some of these experiences, and then I think of something like an Apple Vision Pro and like all these full-on immersive experiences that are leveraging all of the sensory perception, it's no longer gimmicky, right? Like you're not getting a squirt of something sitting in a theater to make you believe that you were near the ocean or something. Like these are actually, you know, it's working with the brain to process these things. We even did a whole four-year consideration series on shows that we loved, in talking to the re-recording mixers for Atlanta, who were also the re-recording mixers on Yellowstone, like the absolute nuance and depth and the layers that go into crafting not just what you're seeing on screen, but what your brain processes. This became like a whole science where I was like, oh God, Mirko and I both talk a lot. How are we going to do this episode? I have so many questions.
Well, that was part of sort of my goal for heading to Austin and for kind of being there for these different sections was really to, one, like learn what people want, you know, but also find a different language of how to communicate these new ideas, right? Because I think the way that we've sort of approached sound for cinema has been actually pretty standardized for a long time. And that's because there's a format to how that content works, right? But as we start to look at more immersive worlds and platforms, and you know, as you all do when you do when you're building previs for projects, like you're seeing a much more three-dimensional space, you know, and you can start to think about the stories in a much more three-dimensional way, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I think in picture, I think you've kind of there's you've managed to build a really good vocabulary to describe that. And you know, a lot of that goes to color science, and there's some obviously a lot of physics. There's a lot of sort of scientific descriptors that we use when we talk about visual 3D spaces. We talk about light refraction and you know, occlusion systems and all that kind of stuff. That I think that vocabulary has sort of been missing in sound. And so I think when a lot of people think about immersive audio, they think about it in cinematic terms, and they're like, oh, I know what that is because I watched, you know, Top Gun, and that had jets flying around. I was like, yeah, it's an amazing sounding film. But that's a cinematic way of using immersive sound. You know, if we build more 3D experiences, and that can be like, you know, a place that you go to, or it can be in headset, or it can be sound only, or it can be, you know, a different kind of like a dome experience or a cinema, more of a bigger cinema experience. Like there are lots of different ways to consume content. And I think one of the, for us at least, one of the key things that's been missing is a new language around sound in those spaces, because you can't use cinematic language to describe something that isn't cinematic, you know. So friends, and I think that's one of the problems in VR, and one of the, you know, one of the sort of key passion points for us around the XR community at South By, and how we can try to help build more convincing experiences, is to try and keep people in headset for longer. And if you take a really cinematic sound approach to something that's on your face, like you're inside of the world, you can't treat it like a Mission Impossible film. You'll wear that person out in 10 minutes, you
I
know?
mean, same. I feel like even if you were in like the MSG sphere or something, like that's a lot to take in if it's all around you, like a 2-hour movie in that giant, I don't know, like.
Well, and it's because we're using cinematic storytelling techniques, which are amazing, and they're
But for that experience.
incredible thing. But when you're immersing someone in something, you have to take a more human-centric approach to sound. And so we sort of talked to people about two things. We talked about this idea of reality modeling. So if we're putting someone in a reality, whether it's a real place or a pretend real, you know, imaginary magic land, whatever, what we want to do is we want to model that reality with sound so that it feels normal. Not so that it sounds normal, but that it feels like it's a place that is instinctually right to you. And so we talk about this concept of reality modeling, and then we talk about spatial sound dynamics modeling, which is how sound moves through that space. And again, it's like you're putting yourself into the viewer's perspective, and but you're really modeling it on how our human hearing discerns what's important, what's not important, how and how we can sort of manipulate as creators the fight or flight responses to these things. But as it, the more immersed we are in something, the more careful attention we need to place on all of those details, just like we do visually. You know, like if it's a quick sketch, great. But if it's something that you're needing someone to spend a lot of time in, those details have to be correct. Otherwise, the brain starts to feel very dissonant, and the two senses become very unaligned. And that's when you take the headset off, or you get sick, or whatever happens, you know.
Honest to God, there have been moments where I get up, jump off the couch, and I'm like, did somebody just walk in my house? Because the creak of the door was so real, or the sound of the floor, or, you know, and not to keep throwing back to the Atlanta people, but that season 3 of Atlanta was a sound designer's like Emmy Oscar, like, because they said the point of the sound design was not to make you feel like you were in the environment. It was to make you feel what they wanted you to feel from the story. And so going back and watching that and hearing it and just like, it was so unsettling because of how intentional and clear all of those choices were.
Well, and, you know, and space plays a big role in all of this. And, you know, I think especially when we know that someone's going to watch something in a lounge room, you can start to design into that space. You know, and so a lot of what we talk about and you know, want to, and met people about at South By is to look at how...
That's what I should have asked. Like, tell me about the people that you met and, like, what opened up your brain and, like... What were the panels or conversations you had that were like, this is why we're here?
I mean, I think I had around 12 to 15 meetings a day for 8 days. So
that is an extrovert's journey. Whoa.
I was like, there was a couple of days in the middle where I was just like, all right, I'm sitting there quiet right now for a little bit. But I was really lucky that I had, you know, Rob and Chris there as well, so that we sort of divided all of our time appropriately. But Nancy, the biggest thing that we talked about is how we can elevate people's collectively as visual creators and as sonic creators. How can we elevate the human experience in all of these projects? And that was everything from... you know, like talking to VCs and investors about really crazy immersive, like archival documentary kind of projects, to like virtual, like community raves in headsets, to fitness systems, to healthcare was a big thing for us. And then obviously, you know, cinematic experiences, game, like more traditional kind of gaming, music, obviously in the later part of the conference. So all of these, sport was another one about, you know, how do we bring sport and community more closely together with sound? So we sort of like sound was ended up in most of the conversations as a glue, you know, it's an adhesive bond between two big ideas. And I think it was really awesome for us to be in the center of these conversations when normally we are sound to picture, right? So it's like pictures first, then we get the instruction, then we do sound to picture. This is the first time really in our professional life as sound storytellers where we can be the glue between these big ideas. And that's kind of, that was really my key takeaway from Austin was that this feels like the right time to have these conversations, you know, and there aren't many, that's the other thing that kind of came out. It's like, there aren't many of us. Like I met most of the other immersive audio people on the planet at South By. Yeah. It's not that many of us, you know?
No, but South By is 75% not American. Like a lot of people don't know that the majority of the people coming to South By, they're coming from overseas or from across a border. And that's part of the magic for me is that like we can get very stuck either in our own industry or in our own line of view. Like even I'm so proud of Dylan and Carlo, you know, who came for the VFX workshop, but they really thought that like they had to just stick with other VFX related panels and sessions. And I was like, get out of here, go to the like the farm to table panel on farming, like get out of it, go learn new things, like open up your brain for that.
You know, that's probably like that sums it up really well. I think it's like it felt like a really great meeting of interesting people and interesting minds. And it felt like most of the conversations that I had were like on the sort of like on the edge of like, it's pushing the edge of possibilities. There's some of the installations that I saw felt like were like, it felt exciting because people were pushing what's possible. And a bunch of people are thinking of, you know, and talking about what might be, it's not even what's possible now. It's just like what will be possible in the future. So it felt inspired. It felt a lot more inspiring than I had really anticipated, especially as I've spent like the last year and a half only at conferences And some of them can be a pretty dire snapshot of an industry when you're like, whoa, that's...
There's also like an exhaustion of catch up post pandemic where we're like cramming in all of this stuff that we're like, look at what we missed in the past like 2.5 years while we were indoors. And it's like, okay, are we in the new normal era? Can we do that?
Well, and you know, I was very happy that we didn't have loads of crypto tents and like NFT activations and, you know, like it.
Those were other years, but yeah.
You know, like still great ideas. Don't get me wrong. I just like, it just didn't seem like all that inspiring. You know, it seemed like inspiring money wise, but not creatively. So it was cool to see a bunch of just really creative people. It felt like a really great meeting of the minds. Honestly, that's probably the best way I can describe it. It also, I think what really helped is just the absolute infinite flow of alcohol that seemed to be free for everyone.
Every corner.
Like every party, like at least for those first kind of 4 days.
Yeah.
I didn't think I paid for anything.
Oh yeah. Friday through Monday is just go, drink, play, meet, all of it.
And I think like governments paid for it. Like I think I went to like the Netherlands. I went to this like huge Netherlands XR party and I was like, wow, like cool. Good one, you guys. There's thousands of people there all talking about stuff. So I think that was the other kind of really interesting takeaway is like, you know, like you give a bunch of interesting people a bunch of beers and then just go talk and like ideate and make shit up.
I mean, that's what's wild. Like even our Oscar party, you know, we wanted it to be intimate, small, for people to be able to hang out, talk, like joke about the speeches or whatever. And I think we did announce this on a previous episode already, but next year we're actually taking over the bar in the Alamo. So that way then more people, but free to move about. So you're not in your theater seat. They've really figured out how to keep it communal. It's a very communal experience because they have these smaller pockets where people can come together. And, you know, I remember when like Twitter was the backbone of South By. We were all sitting in panels, adding hashtags in our notes into Twitter so that you could read what was happening in another panel. You had the notes and then da 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 da. But like now it's really like, I'll see you in the next session. We'll compare notes, or why don't we catch a drink? Or this is the first year I'm so dumb. Like I had never gone to Esther's Follies for anything. And this year I went like 4 or 5 times and there were so many great sessions there. I think I'm just kind of agreeing with you that like the community that you can find there is part of what brings me back for almost 20 years. Yeah. And even this, with a second full season dedicated to how South by Southwest went, is really, I think, kind of the extension of that conference that I try to have throughout the year of like, can we think differently? How are you being curious in this situation? And I think you and I share that of like, a business is not one thing and the future is not particularly written. Like there's no, here's how we did it. Here's how we're gonna do it. Here's, you know, this is be open, be curious, figure out where, how we contribute in that space. Or does the space need to change? And that's the entirety of people that go there.
And I think like something else that I, you know, Rob does so well is to be really generous. And I think you all did that really well too. Like, you know, that the seat at your Oscars party was like the most well-timed comfy chair like ever for me. But we spent a lot of money at South By, and not because we tried to, it was just like, it's just it, and I think that's something that like we all have at these conferences, like sometimes you just go like, ah, whatever, just like sign the bill and don't look at it, you know, something good will happen from it. But I have to say, like, this is probably one of the first conferences that I've been to in the last like 2 years where it felt like it was expensive, but it didn't feel, it felt worth it. Like it felt worth like kind of going into Austin with a sense of generosity to the people that we were with, and flow. Like Rob and I talked a lot about flow, like especially with meetings. He's like, we're just gonna flow. We're gonna flow from one thing to the next. It's like, you know, I was like dead against those Lime scooter things, and then I was just like, these are the best flow machines like ever, because I was like, it, like you can just go, you like boop, go through to the next thing, drop it off, go have a coffee, talk to someone, buy a bunch of boots, like get a thing, meet people, do the next thing. Like it felt like this kind of like flowy.
So that's your pro tip. Do the scooters. Okay. I was on tuk-tuks.
Yeah. But you know, like it felt like the, like kind of getting into the flow really helps the conversations as well. Cause it means you can sort of dip in and out of stuff. You can kind of like, you're not getting stuck, you know, you don't get stuck on a particular point or even meeting one particular person. Like there was a day where, Chris, you know, our PR guy, and I, because he's, you know, he's been around for so long, people just know him. We literally just like, we sat outside of a coffee shop, just like on some steps. Mm-hmm. And we, I don't know, we must have met like 4 or 5 people in an hour that knew Chris. They're like, oh, hey, Chris. Like, hi, oh, how's it going? Someone sits down, talks for a bit. Like, oh, hey, man, you want another coffee? Do you have a thing? And it's like, so you have like, it was these like super cool little meetings on the street. I think I ran into the same person like 3 times just walking around. It felt like this idea of flow was really kind of just cemented for me in that conference.
Well, tell me, we have a little bit of time left, but I want to make sure people know how to get in touch with you and how Vaudeville can help them with their projects, but also what kind of projects especially are getting you excited? Who are the people that you are hoping to connect with, like in this spirit of, you know, immersive audio, but period. Obviously we know film and television, yes, great, contact them. They also have these wonderful remote audio opportunities for anybody that's filming near or far, etc. But you tell me, Vaudeville, what are you guys hoping to jump into with folks?
Well, so there's 3 things, and it was actually all the things that kind of South By covered. So we currently, we're working on a bunch of mixed reality projects for various headsets. We're working on virtual reality projects, games. Mostly, we're working a bunch in healthcare. So we're starting to look at how immersive audio can reduce anxiety and depression. So it's sort of more of a scientific approach to the application of our work. We do a lot of work in animation up here in Vancouver, and we're definitely always looking to push what we do in animation, both in terms of like, you know, normal sort of linear work, but also how it sort of interacts with video game and interactive components. We do a lot of music work. It's definitely not our primary focus as a company, but we're specifically interested in work at South By to meet with catalogs and labels and people that are sort of looking at, you know, the sort of 500 to a few thousand tracks at once kind of work, where we can use sort of a more kind of systemized version way of working with immersive audio in those types of music environments, specifically like stock and production music kind of catalog work. And then, yeah, obviously film and TV, that where we've done a lot of work together. But most of my work is in pushing sort of the more boundaries of what's possible with 3D audio. And we're very happy to partner with Google on the IMF, the launch of that, you know, new immersive audio formats container that will roll out through a bunch of different products over the coming years. So I think I love talking to people about their work and about the work that we do. And anyone that's interested or working in 3D environments where, you know, the human is sort of at the center of that experience, that's the interesting conversation for me. And that's, I think, where we can be really uniquely helpful as a company, and not just as a single operator company, but as a company with lots of people specializing in this, lots of studios around the world that we own and operate that do this work. And so I think those are the conversations that we're interested in. And I think what's really...
Why was like, why did it do that? Like, I don't know if...
I just did this.
Oh, Zoom.
But one thing that we're really interested to talk to people about is about developing this creative vocabulary around sound in 3D environments, and how we can start to push the boundaries of reality in those spaces. And that, I think, can be everything from working in previs, like, you know, when you're designing projects, or it can be how people are immersed in a VR or a mixed reality or some sort of XR experience. And then all the way through to audio only experiences like music or immersive audio for healthcare applications. All of those touch points is what we do, you know, collectively and globally as a company. And we're really excited to be here because it's quite new that devices can do this work. And the thought process of taking a more human-centric approach to sound feels new, I think, in conversation, and hopefully something that's interesting for people working in that kind of space.
I was just gonna say, I feel like this is gonna be one of our episodes where we get a bit more male and like, you know, how do we do this? And I'm telling you right now, you should probably just get in touch with Mirko because I'm not going to be able to answer those questions.
Well, so yeah, you can put my email address in the link or whatever. I'm honestly really happy to connect with people that are, you know, doing interesting things, trying to do interesting things, and trying to do things that are really difficult. You know, and I think that's one of the key areas. You know, you touched a little bit about AI in at South By. I think that's one of the repeating themes in the creative conversations that we had with everyone is now is the time as creatives to do things that are hard to do, follow pursuits that are difficult, like solve problems that are difficult to solve, and push your art and craft further. And I think if we focus collectively as a creative community on those bits, I think we'll have a long and prosperous future as creative people. And so that's what I'm trying to do. Everything that we do is super hard. Like, it's really hard to do.
Same.
We're like using like unproven tools, with computers that can't really, you know, hack the workflow.
Connect dots that other people can't even see.
Yeah, like we're breaking things almost every day. And there's a huge amount of frustration in that, but there's also every kind of breakpoint we have, we're pushing what we can do further and beyond what other people are doing. So anyone that's working on really hard to solve problems, that's what I'm interested in. Those conversations are really exciting and I think hold, a huge amount of potential for the future for all of the companies in that conversation.
Agree. Mirko, that's it. That is our hour. I can't believe like that we could have gone on.
Go through the talk. So you just have to listen to it.
The deck will be up there, and the link is already actually live on South By's for the panel that you guys actually did with the other folks that were on that with you. But we will link to that in the blog and we will have the deck available. But Mirko, this might have been the first, but certainly will not be the last time that we have you on the drop. And I can't wait to see you soon, friend. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah, big hugs. We're gonna incoming. I'll be there in April, hopefully.
We will see you next time on the drop. Bye, everybody.
Bye.